heaven, home, and him. And our golden verse for tonight is found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. But let's go back to verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But I better not stop there. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Those of you who read the Choice Gleanings calendar for today found these words: Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. The time is drawing near when this shall come to pass. The deepest longings of the ransomed ones will be fully met when at last their eyes see the King. The Father's purposes are ripening fast. Blessed moment when we rise to meet him in the air, and in the twinkling of an eye shall be changed, fulfilling the scripture, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's marvelous, isn't it? Sometimes I think we should punctuate our scripture readings with a gasp. And that's one of them. That we should be conformed to the image of his Son. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But better far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Last night we mentioned that the central attraction of heaven is that the Lord Jesus is there. And we just pondered that, what it will be to see him for the first time. Wonderful, isn't it? Just the thought of it transports you above the world with all its vain shadows and takes you into a purer celestial air. The King there in his beauty without a veil is seen. It were a well-spent journey, though seven deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army doth on Mount Zion stand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Dear friends, we're going to see the King in his beauty. Do we know that verse well enough to sing it, Brother George? The King there in his beauty without a veil is seen. The King there in his beauty without a veil is... It were a well-spent journey. Those seven deaths lay between. The Lamb with his fair army. Doth on Mount Zion stand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. mentions that there are other residents of heaven. We thought last night about the angelic hosts of heaven, the holy angels. That's going to be something, isn't it, to step inside the portals of heaven and see those hosts of angels and realize he's the God, the Lord of hosts. Wonderful. And then we're going to see the saints of the church age. They'll all be gathered there. And the Old Testament saints, the spirits of dead, the spirits of the Old Testament saints made perfect. All the redeemed of all the ages, washed in the blood of the Lamb. What a holy congregation it's going to be. And then, of course, God the judge of all will be there. And then we turned to Revelation 21 and we found the list of those who won't be there. Those who will be excluded. All the unbelievers. All those who have refused the Lord of life and glory. And as we were closing last night, we pondered the central wonder of heaven. The central attraction of heaven is that the Lord Jesus will be there. The central wonder of heaven is that you and I will be there. And we sang that little chorus, wonderful Savior, wonderful friend, wonderful life that never shall end, wonderful place he's gone to prepare, wonder of wonders, I shall be there. It's marvelous when you stop to think of it. We'll be like him in that moment, for we shall see him as he is. Just think of that. One sight of the Savior will transform us into his image. That doesn't mean we'll all look alike. We'll all have our separate identities, but we'll be like him in spiritual and moral perfection, won't we? That will be wonderful beyond description. We'll never share the unique attributes of God. We'll never be omnipotent. We'll never be omniscient. We'll never be omnipresent. But we'll be like him, as I said, in spiritual and moral likeness, and also the fact that we'll have a glorified body like his glorified body. And we shall know as we are known. We talked about that last night. Recognition in heaven. Married partners will recognize each other in heaven, although the marriage relationship will not continue as such. Of course, that raises all kinds of questions. I can hear you thinking of them right now. And I tell you, he's going to solve all of those problems so that everybody will be exactly satisfied. I can just leave it there, can't you? What are problems to us today? There are no problems to him at all. And when we get there and we see how he works it out, we're going to say, isn't that wonderful? Or if you're younger, you'll say, wow. Absolutely marvelous. Some people have suggested that while we have 5 senses now, we may have 50 senses in heaven. Who knows? Who knows, but that might be possible. We will probably be able to transport ourselves just by thinking the thought. Just think of that. And as the Lord Jesus did, vanish instantaneously. But just think of transportation unhindered by any material objects at all. That's what it will be like. And just think of this. To have us with him in glory will be the culmination of God's great plan of the ages. He's been working toward that moment all down through through the centuries. The Savior will see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When he looks at us with those kindly beaming eyes, I like that, kindly beaming eyes. And you'll think, Calvary was all very worthwhile. Isn't that grand? Heaven will be a place of progress. That's why we read Ephesians 2:7 tonight. Too often people imagine heaven as a place of rest and prolonged vacation. I can think of nothing more boring. I don't want to go to a heaven so bland and boring as that. I do not want to be an eternal couch potato. Do you? But sitting here in the room tonight, we can't imagine the wonderful things that God has planned for us in the eternal state. We can only make a few suggestions of it tonight. The truth is that heaven will be a place of endless progress, of eternal learning, of growth and revelation. We know that from Paul's words here in Ephesians 2:7. Notice it says, that in the ages to come, heaven, he, God, might show, crucial, that word show. If he's going to be showing us something, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be learning, aren't we? What's he going to be showing? The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to show us the whole drama of redemption and what it meant to him, what it meant to the Son of his love, and it'll take all eternity. It's going to take all eternity. It was such a marvelous display of grace and kindness that it will never be fully told. And I want to tell you tonight, if God is going to be teaching, we are going to be learning. And I think of it that way. I think God the teacher, the Bible the textbook, the term eternity. This is really wonderful. And with the Bible as their textbook, the ransomed throng will be enrolled in the course, Grace and Kindness. Would you like that? I would. The subject is inexhaustible. I personally expect, of course, that there will be other subjects. The Bible is an infinite book, isn't it? An eternal book. And I believe the Bible will form the basis for endless study. That pleases me. And we're going to get the answers to a lot of our questions that day. All of them, actually. But maybe not all at once. There are treasures in the scriptures that will be brought out that will thrill our souls. And we'll say, why didn't I see them before? One of the reasons might be that we were watching television. They were there all the time, but we just didn't take the time to dig them out. Is it too much to suggest to you tonight that in heaven we will see the whole panorama of Bible history? I believe it. How would you like to see creation the way it took place? And hear the morning stars sing for joy? Wouldn't it be something? I believe you'll see it. I'll tell you why in a minute. The creation of Adam and Eve in the garden. You say, Donald, you're getting pretty radical. No, I'm not getting radical. I think we can prove it from the scripture. How would you like to see the events there in the Garden of Eden? The fall. The flood. Just think of the flood. Seeing the flood in living color as it actually took place. The fountains of the deep breaking up and the rain coming down. And everyone who was in the ark was saved. And everyone who was in the water perished. I believe we'll see it. I really do. Babel. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see Genesis 22? To see Abraham going that last stretch with Isaac at Mount Moriah. To see that uplifted hand, the uplifted knife, the voice of God telling him not to harm his son. I think that story is filled with more pathos than almost anything else in the Old Testament. I try to relive it in my own imagination, to think of Isaac looking up at his father and seeing the sun glinting in that raised knife. It's really too much. I expect to see it as it actually happened. Not with my present sanctified imagination, but as it actually happened. How would you like to see the bondage in Egypt and the plagues and the Passover and the Exodus? Thrilling. The journey through the wilderness, the construction of the tabernacle. Marvelous, really, building a tent like that with the materials that they had on hand. The wilderness wanderings, the conquest of Canaan, and Saul and David and Goliath. See that stone find its mark. Just the way it happened. The whole story of the divided kingdom and the Babylonian captivity and the return. The difference, that'll be nothing. How would you like to see Calvary the way it actually happened? See, where do you get all this? Dear friends, the light waves are all in the universe, and it'd be a small thing for God to harness them again, wouldn't it? Those light waves are... Years ago, some people were watching television in England, and all of a sudden, an unexpected program flashed on. That is, a part of a program flashed on the television. It had nothing to do with programs that originated in England. Nothing to do. And the authorities made extensive investigation and found out that that was a program that had originated in Texas a long time before. And it was somewhere in the atmosphere all that time. I want to tell you this. If a program originating in Texas can be hidden in the atmosphere and come down to England sometime later, there's nothing for God to train the light rays of all the panorama of Bible history and see it as it happened. See the Lord Jesus Christ suspended there on the cross of shame, dying for me. And then see that marvelous morning when he rose from the dead, triumphant. And when they came and rolled away the stone, the glory of the resurrection. You know, when we watch a parade at ground level, we can only see the band and the floats that are passing right in front of us, can't we? But if we get up on a high building, we can see the whole parade from start to finish. And dear friends, we're going to be in a high building when we get home to heaven. And we'll look down and we'll see the whole parade from the creation to the consummation. What a wonderful God we have. Or think of it in this way.
I often think of this. When we get to heaven, time as it now exists won't exist anymore, will it?
Time as we know it is formed by the relationship of the earth to the sun. The earth orbits the sun in 365 days plus.
But that situation will no longer be relevant in heaven.
And to me that means that that in heaven you won't have a past and you won't have a future. You'll just have an eternal now. Doesn't it speak about the Lamb, as it were, freshly slain? Long time after Calvary. The Lamb, as it were, freshly slain. I think of my dear mother. She went home to be with the Lord in 1940. And she passed out of a scene of time into a scene of timelessness. You say, well, she's been there for 53 years and the Lord hasn't come. There isn't any time. The next thing is the rapture. But just in using the word next thing, I've introduced the thought of time, haven't I? I wonder if when we depart to be with the Lord, by way of death, there's no lapse as we think of a time. We're in the presence of the Lord. We get our glorified bodies because the rapture has taken place. Maybe that's a little difficult for you to think about, but it's something worth thinking about. What it really means is that Calvary, as well as all of these other biblical events, will be an ever-present reality in heaven. That's the kind of a heaven that appeals to me. Not a place of inactivity. Rest, yes, rest in serving Him. I believe in heaven the Lord's going to give us a wonderful revelation of His wonders in creation. And His wonders in providence. And His wonders in redemption. And I want to think with you a little about that. We live such busy, frenetic lives down here. All around us, everything in creation utters His glory, but we don't have time to see it. And we will then. Because He's going to be revealing all of these wonders to us. The wonders of His stellar creation. Do you ever stop to look up into the stars at night and realize there are 200 billion galaxies and 200 billion stars in every galaxy? Why did He make so many? To show us what a wonderful God He is, that's why. For His pleasure, they were created. And to show us what a great God He is. And who knows but what in heaven we'll have the possibility of exploring the universe in a way we certainly never have had down here. The dimensions of the starry universe. Who can doubt, someone has written, that in resurrection bodies, unfettered by gravity, the redeemed of the Lord will have an eternity of time to explore the infinitude of space. Man will finally reach the stars. I tell you, no eye has seen or ear heard. Never entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And we see tonight through a glass darkly. I came across a quote recently and it thrills me every time I think of it. Talking about the possibility of it all happening by chance.
And it said that the universe is so finely tuned that for it all to happen by chance would be like taking a microscopic dart. You could only see it in a microscope. And hurling it to the most distant quasar and hitting a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter. Well, it's not very chancy, is it? Let me say it again. The universe is so finely tuned that it would be comparable to taking a microscopic dart, hurling it to the most distant quasar, and hitting a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. And of course, I think in heaven the Lord will be revealing to us in a way we haven't known down here the wonders of the human body. The wonders of speech, of sight, of hearing, of touch, and taste, and smell. His masterpiece, the human body, for the heart and the circulatory system and the skeletal structure and the muscles and the nervous system were fearfully and wonderfully made. In the book by that title, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, the authors say that if you take the DNA molecule, we're talking about something pretty small now, the DNA molecule, and you could unravel it and just attach it end to end, it would reach to the sun and back 400 times. Did you know you have something in your body like that? You unravel the DNA molecule, splice it together, it would go to the sun and back 400 times. Marvelous, isn't it? I think God's going to be revealing all of these things like this, to us in heaven. For the marvel of the human brain, the Lord asked Job, who has put wisdom into the mind? That's marvelous, really. I love that question. Who has put wisdom into the mind? I thought, I'm going to raise both my hands. And I raised them. How did I do that? Was that a chemical reaction? What was the connection between my brain and my hands that I was just able to do that? We do it every day and we don't even think anything about it. It's going to be quite a school, isn't it? In heaven, where the Lord goes over all of these things with us. Get the answers. We're going to get the answers to the marvelous connection between the mind and the soul and the spirit. We've taken these things for granted far too long. And then, of course, as we look down, of course, it'll be a renewed earth by then, but we'll realize how God had made this planet exactly suited to life. Plenteously filled it with water, which of course is indispensable. And the rotation of the earth, you know, just exactly right. And the tilt of the earth, just exactly right to provide the seasons of the year. Would you be interested to hear all this? I will. I'll be fascinated. Just the right atmosphere to sustain human life. And we'll have a new appreciation of God's provision of food for all his creatures. What a wonderful feat of logistics. And I think in that day we'll realize how little we knew about the formation of the baby in the mother's womb. Starting off with a little cell I was going to say about the size of the dot over the I there in your Bible. And the cell begins to multiply. And this cell goes over to become a kidney, part of a kidney. And then another one goes over to become part of a lung. Another one becomes part. But how do they know where to go? And why don't they form the kidney behind your ear? They know where to go. And they know when to go. Because, you know, sometimes there have to be veins there to support it. So the timing and sequence of moves is absolutely exquisite. Of course, that happened tonight when you sat down to that lovely meal, didn't it? And some of that food goes for flesh, and some goes for, I was going to say fat, but I shouldn't have said that. Some goes for teeth and hair, and it's just too much. How does it know where to go? What a marvelous mechanism. What a marvelous mechanism. And I'll tell you, we'll be more amazed than ever that rational men could ever have attributed to chance. God gives us little glimpses of it down here. I think that's to whet our appetite for heaven. Little glimpses of his marvels in creation. Within the last 3 weeks, I was in a redwood grove in California. And we were strolling through this grove of these giant trees, and there was a sign there. And it explained how the robin and another bird, they like to get into the decomposed bark of the redwood tree. Here's the bark is down on the ground, and of course it's turning back tragically to sawdust, you know. And these birds will come and they'll flutter around in the sawdust of the redwood tree. Why are they doing that? Well, the explanation was that there's tannin in the bark of the redwood tree. And by doing that, they get rid of the fleas on their bodies. But who taught them that? That was marvelous to me. I stopped to worship the Lord when I read that. And these things are around us all the time. Not too long ago, I had some relatives from Scotland, and we went down to the aquarium in Monterey, California. If you ever come to California, I recommend you see it. It's marvelous. And there was a very fine gentleman there giving a lecture on the sea otter. The sea otters are right there, and those are tame ones anyway. And he explained how that sea otter will take an abalone shell and smash it against a rock to get the meat out of it. That was too much for me. I'm just a little nobody in the crowd. And I said to him, who taught the otter to do that? And there was a fine-looking young lady standing next to me, and she said, God, of course. I said, thank you very much. That's why I asked the question, and the crowd began to filter away. They got uneasy all of a sudden. That's marvelous, isn't it? Marvelous. I was talking about these things once, and a man came to me. He said, I've seen a crow take a walnut, not just in the brown shell, but in that black casing also. And he said, I've seen a crow go up in a tree over concrete and drop it down onto the concrete, and it has never hit a branch of the tree. And, of course, it smashes, and he goes down and gets the meat. But who taught the crow that? I tell you, when we get to heaven, there's a lot to learn, isn't there? It's marvelous, the God that we... Last Sunday, I was at Elizabeth, and the dear sister that had us for lunch served rhubarb pie. I said, but this pie is a mystery. The stalk is edible, and the leaves are poison. Now, how does God do that? Huh? We don't eat the leaves of the rhubarb, I hope. stalk made a delicious pie. And where does the poison stop? I don't know, and I didn't investigate either. You know, we go through life that we don't pay any attention to anything as minuscule as a beetle, do we? Well, I didn't know this till this last week. There's a little beetle called the bombardier beetle. Any of you ever heard of the bombardier beetle? Some of you have. You can correct me afterwards if my facts aren't right, but they're close. It has two little sacs there filled with chemicals in its little body. Two sacs filled with chemicals. When a predator comes, when it's in danger, it lifts its tail and releases those two chemicals. They mix with an enzyme, and it emits a gas that's 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I want to ask you, how can a beetle emit a gas 400 degrees Fahrenheit without destroying itself? Chance, come on, give me some slack. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Do you want to sing it? Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. You know what? Thou art worthy. To some of the wonders of God in providence, I think that's a good place to stop tonight. That we may just go away with our hearts singing of the greatness of our God. Maybe, do you have another hymn that we'd like to sing, Brother George? I'll close in prayer, and then Brother George will have a hymn for us to sing at the end. Blessed God, we're speechless tonight when we think of your greatness. And what a wonder it is to anticipate a heaven in which you'll be revealing all of these things to us. We look forward to that day. To be with the Lord Jesus, to hear his welcome voice, to be with the saints of all the ages, and to be in your school. And to have you showing us something of your greatness that we missed while we were down here. The world was too much with us. Giving and spending, we laid waste our powers. We look forward to that day. And we pray that in the meantime, we might be delving into your word and looking about us in your marvelous creation. Lifting our hearts to you in perpetual worship. In Jesus' name, amen.